There are some that have just come in for the, you know, yesterday or the day before, and I had really hoped that we would be all finished with this in 2 days. It didn't work out that way. We're still, and we got to finish this morning, so we will. And if we don't finish at 5 to 10, we're just going to stop, finished or not. But we have in the mornings at least gone on this premise that we are in a conflict and in a battle, that our fight is not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, and that we don't wage our warfare with carnal weapons, but there are weapons that God has given to us that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we had said that we had better be skilled in using those weapons. Just because we have a weapon doesn't mean we know how to use it, or that we didn't use it well. We had said that we have the Bible. That's a weapon, the sword. It's a good weapon, and we must use that weapon. But if we don't study it, if we don't know it, if we don't read it, if we have no idea what's in it, just having one, even a two-translation one, doesn't help you very much. You can't, against the onslaught of the enemy, just hold up the book and expect it to do magic. The magic is that it gets into you and your heart, first of all. You become saturated with that word of God. And then without spouting Bible verses, you're just living it. That's how young people cleanse their way, by taking heed according to that word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We talked about prayer as another weapon that God has given to us, a wonderful weapon, that we need to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. It's not enough just to, before you crash at night, to, as best you can, if you still have your wits about you, say, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. I prayed. That prayer probably got no further than the ceiling or the walls. If we have iniquity in our hearts, there again, don't bother. There are things that the Bible tells us, that's why we need the Bible and instruction from the Bible about prayer. And we need to implement so that we could use the tool well, so that we can use it for the intended purpose. And if you, again, when we've done this a little bit, we've looked at the Bible and noticed that there are tremendous answers to prayer in faith, believing. If two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Whatever we ask of our Father, He hears us. And prayer is a tremendous, the Word of God are tremendous weapons. But we spent most of our time talking about praise. And what it means, that little sign in the back, praise the Lord anyhow. Well, what does that mean? And there again, praise is not just saying words. It's not just repeating hallelujah. Many times, my daughter has a thing that she, I don't know if you have it on now, but she counts her steps every day. Imagine that. She gets to 10,000 and then she quits, whether she likes it or not. And if she's not up to 10,000, she goes out and runs to make sure she gets there. Well, praise doesn't work that way. You don't have a quota. And if I say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, 100 times, then I've reached my quota. That could be empty, vain repetition and meaningless. It could be loud or it could be soft, and it doesn't really matter. It still can be meaningless. And so we've been trying to notice what the Bible says, what the Bible means when it talks about our praising the Lord. What does that really mean? Well, it has to be from our hearts that are cleansed and right with God. Then he puts this new song of praise, praise unto our God. It comes from a clean heart. And we offer praise to him. And that's the way he manifests himself. So we've looked at a little bit in the Old Testament. We've been having, believe it or not, this is going to be hard for some of you to even believe. Chris, you'll never believe this. But we've been having a little Hebrew class here every morning. We've been learning Hebrew, the Hebrew language. I've always wanted to learn Hebrew, and I thought if I keep one step ahead of the class, that's good enough. And so I've been learning a word a day, or two words a day, in Hebrew, believe it or not. And I've been told that We, in our English translation of the Bible, have the word praise or bless the Lord or hallelujah. And it all comes from that word in Hebrew that means praise. And there are a lot of different facets to that word. We can say praise the Lord and it can mean bow down and do homage to him and you get down before him. Or it could mean lift your hands. And that's all part of praise. And when we read praise the Lord, sometimes what's it mean? Praise the Lord is not only getting together like this and saying, praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. That's not even any good. But to praise him with our mouth from our heart, what was that word? Do you remember? Anybody remember that word? Please somebody tell me the word. Oh, thank you. That was our Hebrew word. It was that word hallel or hallah. And I found it, and I even found it with the U at the end. So I don't know which one is the correct way, because I don't speak Hebrew at all. I just look at what it says in the book, and the book had it these different ways. And hallah means, what does it mean?
Praises clamorously.
Okay, to rave, to celebrate. What was another word? To be clamorous. Just a hallelujah before the Lord with a celebration of thanksgiving. I'm trying to get this tape on tape. This might take me to 5 to 10 just to do. Oh no, I didn't do very well. But look at this. I want to remind you all. So here, this isn't the bread that you get in the store, you know, challah bread, but this is hallelujah. We looked at Psalm 113 where it says in the NIV, at least, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's that word in a lot of different places. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And we talked about that, so we don't talk about it anymore, but we learned another Hebrew word. And another Hebrew word that we learned was yada, 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 right? You remember yada, yada, yada. Well, what is yada? It's not halal. It's to extend your hands in thanksgiving and in adoration, in worship. We extend our hands, and we read some Bible verses that talked about, forget about the tape. I was going to tape them up. The tape doesn't work, and it's going to take too long. But yes, yada. And sometimes, you know, these aren't distinct, separate categories all the time. You can halal with your yada. And sometimes we do. But the Bible tells us that part of praise, not the whole ball, not everything about, but part of praise is, it's to lift your hands. I think it's in Psalm 63. I will lift up my hands in your name. I will yada, not only halal, but I'll yada. And sometimes we yada while we halal. Sometimes we lift our hands and we're just raving or praising or celebrating the Lord. And by the way, that halal word is almost always associated with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Rejoice and give homage or glory to him, not to the church, not to me, not to you, not to we, but praise the Lord and yada, or lift your hands to the Lord. And then we had a close second that was not yada, but what is the one that means, let me do a reverse, see if you know this one. In reverse, we talked about, instead of giving to the Lord, we talked about lifting our hands and receiving in acceptance of what it is that he wants to give to us. That's another form of praise. And what is that word in? Yeah, see how good we're doing? We're going to leave here little Hebrew scholars. And well, probably not. But yeah, this is how it looks, at least how it looked when I looked it up. Toda. Toda. And so sometimes when I see you in the meeting, and sometimes some of you are lifting your hands, I don't know whether you're yadaing or todaing. I don't know which one you're doing, but it's okay to do whatever. Lord, I receive. Sometimes it's kind of clear to me when I'm saying I need. Well, it could be both. It doesn't really. I don't know what it is sometimes. I know what it is when I lift my hands. Lord, I want what you're bringing. I want what you're offering. I want to receive what you have for me. Or, Lord, I just love you. I just worship and thank you. I adore you. I just celebrate you. And so I praise you. And again, these words are usually translated praise or something akin to that in our Bible. But I guess in the Hebrew, it was more distinct and clearer to others. Now, we had one more yesterday. That was a big one. I mean, that was a bigger word, a longer word. So it's probably harder for us to recall it. But does anybody remember what we... Look at this. You're much better than the staff. Well, no, not really. You're just quieter than the guests. But, yeah, here, I don't know how to say that. How do you say that?
Tehillah.
Tehillah? Yeah. Tehillah. Now, what did tehillah mean? What is that? Okay, it means to express through song. And remember we said yesterday it could be hymns. We could tehillah when we sing the hymns, and we should. Again, you can open up that book and you can sing the hymn and you finish singing and you don't even know what you sang. You have no concept, no clue, no understanding. I got it out of my system. I at least found the right page and hit the right... But when we praise the Lord, we have to be all there and in it. God looks for that from us. It's comely for those of us that are upright in heart to be praising Him. And so we sing hymns, and we could also, we talked about singing psalms. We can sing scripture texts and verses. We did that this morning. That's all part of this tehillah. But there's also, it's said in one place that I read, especially the singing of hymns and psalms. But especially does it refer to the singing of spiritual songs, just right from your heart to the Lord. That's also something good to do. Maybe you've done that before. Maybe with your challah, there's been some tehillah, and where's the cross? I don't know, and I don't care. But I want to be able to take this, what I believe is a weapon, in Acts 16 and 2 Chronicles 20 and other places, this weapon of praise. And I want to learn better in the Holy Spirit, with God's help, to praise Him as I ought. And not just to go through the forms. Not just to have it be a routine. And so I remember my card thing yesterday. What card would you like to receive? The little poem, the Valentine Day poem by Helen Steiner Rice, that somebody else that she wrote, that you use and give it to your husband or your wife or whoever it may be that you're giving it to. Very nice, very flowery language. You don't even know half those words in that poem. They're so beautiful. And there they express the sentiment of Helen Steiner Rice to your husband. Well, who wants that? Well, she might, so I bought it for her. It's on the Hallmark card. I paid good money for it. She got it. Or some other thing that we give. But I think, and Sister Hofflander concurred yesterday with me, that the best love letter, the best expression of your love and thanks to your spouse would be perhaps something that just is right from your own pen and right on a piece of blank 8.5, even if it's got scrap on the back, you use the side and you write, Dear Joyce, thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to me over the years. And now which one of those would you like to receive? Well, we concurred yesterday, and I didn't try to force this on you, but most of you just agree that I'd like that personal one. I like the one that's the expression, right? From, you know, to sing somebody else's song is good. It's good. I'm not debunking it and saying it's wrong. But every once in a while, tehillah comes from your own heart. It's as the Holy Spirit just moves you in your heart, in your soul, and you just offer up a spiritual song. It might be a halal to the Lord. It might be with Yada, Toto, or whatever combined and throw it all in the mix, but it's all part of our praise. Sometimes you sing with your understanding. Sometimes you might just sing in another language that you don't even know, just expressing your thanksgiving and your love and your adoration. And I don't know this for sure because I have no way to know it, but I just suspect that kind of praise might please the heart of my Father more than anything else that I could offer to Him. More than the song from the book, although as good as it may be in expressing truth and help to us, just from my own heart, every once in a while. So now we want to move ahead. We're going to make it. Here's the next one. Now this I found spelled B-A-R-A-K, Barak, Deborah and Barak, and I also found it this way. It's a Hebrew word, Baruch. Baruch, Barak, whatever you want to, whichever it really is supposed to be. But you know what this means? This is completely different. This is what?
Blessed.
It's probably translated, well, I can tell you a couple places where you find it. If you'd open your Bible with me to Psalm 95, verse 6. If you get it, please read it loud and don't stall. I don't have much time. So Psalm 95, verse 6. What does it say? Anybody got it? Loud.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord.
Okay, that bow down part, that worship and bow down is the word Barak. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. There's no halal, there's no tehillah, there's no yada or tota, or maybe there's some yada and tota in there, but there's no voice. There's no mouth, there's no fruit of my lips giving thanks to his name. Praise could be in abject silence. As you're overwhelmed by the splendor and the awe of God just fills your soul and your heart and your mind, and you can do nothing else but to just bow down before the Lord your Maker. And that is a very mighty aspect of praise. It is not, dear friends, the louder the better. It is not the more the merrier. Sometimes it is, be still and know that I'm God. There's another verse, don't look it up. It'll take you half a day to find 1 Chronicles for some of you. But 1 Chronicles 29, it says, now bless the Lord your God, and all the assembly bless the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to their king. They bowed low. All the assembly bowed low before God. You've done that before, perhaps, as an expression of your praise and thanks to God. You've just bowed low in his presence. Jack Hayford, I think, his song, one of the verses says, bow low and do him reverence, this Jesus glorified. Bow low before him. And so when we're to praise the Lord, what does that mean? I don't know what it means to you. At different times, it may take different forms. Sometimes it's outward and loud. Sometimes it's inward and silent. Sometimes it's with lifted hands. Sometimes it's with hands in your pockets or at your sides. Sometimes you're standing on your feet. Sometimes you're bowing down before the Lord. But we need to learn to praise the Lord. And you say, well, all these things are easy. Anybody can do this. Anybody can do that. Anybody can say how. Yeah, anybody can do that, but not everybody can do that. Pleasing to the Lord is a real sacrifice of praise from the heart, from the life. There are just two more. And I like these. Well, I like them all. I hope you do too. But there's another one in Hebrew. It's Z-A-M-A-R, Zamar. Now, that sounds like a kid in my Sunday school. But that's not Zamar. Zamar. Now, what does Zamar mean? Do you know? No? Zamar, well, here's what it... to pluck the strings of an instrument. It's a musical word which is largely involved with joyful expressions of music with musical instruments. How many of you here play a musical instrument? Play at it, maybe it plays you or whatever, but a lot of you do. A lot of you play musical instruments. And it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable to know how to play an instrument, to play it. If you can play it well, it's even more enjoyable. And it's even enjoyable for others if you can play it well. If you can't play it well, it's sometimes not so enjoyable for you or for anybody else. But we like to do that. We like to play, and it's okay to play instruments. Psalm 150 talks about the stringed instruments. It talks about the organ. It talks about the cymbals. It talks about these different instruments and all lending themselves to zamar, to praising the Lord. But, you know, learn if you're playing an instrument. Play that thing as praise to your God. It's more, I believe it's more important. Now, don't take me wrong. I mean, you have to hit a right note every now and again. But I believe it's more important to God that you're playing as worship, as praise to God, than that you hit every note and hit it well and hold it in tune. I think God accepts more readily an out-of-tune instrument than he does one well-tuned that's really not playing to worship or to praise or to love Jesus. I've heard people sing, let them sing all they want to. They sing off key, whatever. And I've heard people, a lady in our church years ago, went over to the piano. She's never done this before, never done it since. She can't sing. She went over to the piano when she started to play a song and she sang. She sang just out of her own heart to the Lord, a hymn. And it was such a blessing to us all. Learn to play your instruments as a form and as an act of praise to God. I could talk too long, and I don't have too much longer, but I could tell you stories after story. Brother, right next to the clock is Brother Wanamaker. And so when I look at the clock, I see him, and just in his experience, he played the violin. Some of you maybe remember Brother Wanamaker. play the violin well. One time he was on his way home from a certain place, and he was taking the train, and he had already passed a couple stops, had passed where he was, well, he was on his way home, and he passed this one home of a pastor whose daughter was very sick. He went right by, and then the Lord kind of made him to feel you should stop in at that home. You should go back there. So he got off the train, went back a couple stops, and went to that home. He got to the door, and the pastor's family answered the door. They looked like it was a terrible situation. It looked sad. They had been crying. It was desperate, and their daughter was upstairs, and she was unconscious and sick unto death. Brother Wanamaker went up into that room. What did he do? Halal, halal, halal. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Talia, ho, oh, oh, oh. No, no, no. You know what he did? Yeah, he's amarred a little bit. He just praised God with his fiddle. He took his violin out of that case, and he played his violin. I don't know what song he played, and I don't know how long he played his violin for, but he played his violin. And as he was playing his violin, life came into that girl. Strength and health came back into that girl. Well, who laid hands on her? Who prayed the prayer? Just as you praise him, it's a tremendous weapon. Praise can heal your body. Praise can blow the doors off of the jail cell. Praise can send ambushments against the enemy. Praise is a weapon that God has given to us. And I need all the help I can get. I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. And if I can get my flugelhorn to help me to praise the Lord, then I'm going to use my flugelhorn. If I can get my hands to help me out, I'm going to use my hands. If I can get my voice to help me out, I'm going to use my voice. If I get down before God and that's going to be the way he wants, then I'm going to get down before God. But I want to learn to praise the Lord in spirit and in truth. I want to learn to worship him and give him my body, my hands, my heart, my life, my voice, my everything. And as Brother Wanamaker played that violin, Jesus came to that girl and lifted her out of that condition. He went back downstairs with the daughter, walked out the door, went home. That was the end of the story. When my wife was sick and nigh unto death, years and years ago, and Brother Gardner came one afternoon to the house to pray. And I was glad that he came. I need all the help we could get. And he walked into the room where my wife was lying in the bed, and he never said a word. He never prayed. He never laid his hands on her like, thanks for coming. Why don't you do something when you get here? Oh, he did something all right. You know what he did? He did this one. He did Barak. Is that the one? That's the one where we bow down, right? That's what he did. He just came into the room and he got on his knees before God. And he knelt there and he knelt there. I'm sure he was using the weapon of prayer and just knelt before God. And after 20 minutes, he waved goodbye to me and gave me that Brother Gordon smile and walked back out and took leave. And not too long after that, Brother Edwin came. There was a different prayer, and my wife looked at me and said, Jesus touched me. Did you feel that? Feel what? I didn't feel anything. I'm not sick, though. You are. And Jesus had touched her. Jesus came to her, made her strong, and made her well. I tell you, these are weapons that are invaluable. Invaluable. Well, last one. Hoo-hoo, we got to go. Shabbach. Shabbach. This is one some of you are not going to like at all. But you know, it's not Shabbach, no. But if you've been to a Shabbach revival meeting, you've probably had a little Shabbach in the Shabbach, because there's a lot of Shabbach in Shabbach's meetings. Well, what does Shabbach mean? A Shabbach is to shout or to address in a loud tone. Now, who in the world would do that? I mean, halal's bad enough that I have to even open my mouth? You got to be kidding me. That I have to articulate my prayer? No, I don't do that. I do Barak pretty well. I lay down, usually sleep when I do, but I lay down. Well, that's not Barak, that's sleep. And the Bible says he gives his beloved in sleep, but that's not praise. But this Shabbach thing, it's all through the Bible. Psalm 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Then what does it say? Now, you like to tehillah that. Some of you do. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And then we finish the song. And then it's... And then you fit some weird duck next to you says, "Praise the Lord!" We get a little Amy. You know, that's biblical. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. But I don't see any triumph. Well, then shout unto God in faith with the voice of triumph. You know the little chorus, there's a shout in the camp? Doesn't mean pilgrim camp, but I would pray that there would be a shout in this camp. Hallelujah! Glory to God! And there's an echo in heaven. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Shabbat! Well, in Psalm 145, one generation shall praise thy works to another. That's that word Shabbat. One generation shall in a loud voice declare the goodness and the mercy of God to the next generation. Shall tell the works of God in acts of deeds that he's done, things that he's accomplished, victories that he's won. In Psalm or in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 6, the last verse in that, I think it's a psalm, but it's in Isaiah 12. Cry out and shout, you inhabitants or inhabitresses of Zion. Why? Why should I cry out and shout?
Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of
all right, so if he's here and he's in the midst, why can't I just whisper? Doesn't he hear whispers?
Yes.
I don't know why it says shout, but it does. And I'm dumb enough to believe that if that's what he tells me to do, then I'm going to do it every now and again. Not all the time. Sometimes I got to be barracking. Sometimes I'm down and I'm not saying a word. I'm just worshiping him, laying down, sitting down, kneeling down, just worshiping him. But every once in a while, there's got to be some yada, and there's got to be some tota, and there's got to be some halal, and there's got to be some zamar if you play an instrument. It's got to be praise unto our God. And so, Lord, help me. Teach me, teach me, teach me. I want to be a little more well-rounded. I don't just want to, well, this, now we're going to get our praise on. Don't get your praise. What does that mean? Now we're going to go praise. Well, isn't it a life of praise? Whatever we're doing, wherever it is, and sometimes as Brother Wandenmacher again, you remember on the corner of Wabash and whatever street that was? Wabash and what was it? What did it say? What did he do?
He jumped a good one.
He what? He jumped a good one. He felt this oppression, this little melancholia. You know what that is? A little depression. Okay, it's time. See ya. And he jumped. And he jumped right out of himself and into the presence and the glory of God. Let me just read a half a paragraph in closing. This is from Sister Martha Robinson. I mentioned a little bit of it yesterday. Let me read the second paragraph. You do not know what would happen to you if you would from day to day, hour to hour, moment to moment, praise the Lord. It would eclipse all that you have ever seen. You would always see him. There would really come into your being a marvelous change, delights in his own way, and his desires instead of the desires of the natural man, reveling in his presence, blessing and praising and magnifying his holy name. These are the ones who are overcoming and conquering. Who are they overcoming and conquering? The world and the flesh and the devil. And one of the ways we do that is through this marvelous weapon of praise. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Could we stand together and could we sing number 43? We can do that before 10 o'clock. That's what I'm aiming for. So let's sing number 43. Jack Hayford's song, Exalt His Name Together. The name of Jesus, Lord. Now, we can tehillah this song. We can sing it as praise to our God. And we should. Number 43.
Save your blood.
Jesus' name, for healing, all forgiveness, His power remains the same.
But they are mighty through God. Teach us your ways. Oh, dear Jesus, help us to do, make us to do, Lord, your ways and your will. Lord, set within to us the high-sounding praises of God. May they be in our mouth and in our heart, Lord, we pray that we will better use the weapon of praise that you have given to us. Teach us how. Teach us, O Lord. We pray that it might be in God, mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Lord, help us to practice a little bit. Lord, throughout this day, help us to practice praise. Lord, help us, dear Lord, throughout this day, our story, our song, praising our Savior all the day long. Oh, dear Lord, bless each one here today. Write your word into our hearts, Lord. Dear Jesus, and enable us not to hear only, but to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. 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 Now the original copy, these seven words, they're on sale for $10. They can be yours. There will be replicas made in the boathouse at a cheaper discounted price, and it's first come. But you don't want these. Remember, the one that has the Son has everything else. And if you have the Son, you're going to praise Him. God bless you. We're dismissed.